We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all. Talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, somebody who I've just gotten to like this thoroughly fond of having her on the show. I mean, when she calls in, it's always like I always get pepped up. I'm like ready to go hunt a bear with a switch. Is our friend Hannah Stevens. Hannah kind of came to fame as being known as the UA sign girl and went on to have some time in sports broadcasting herself, working with ESPN. And she calls in periodically now, and we go down the rundown of what's latest in what I would call right sports. So without further ado, Hannah Stevens, my friend, how are you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm doing all right today. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm good. Still working the fire department, I guess, aren't you?
Yes, sir. It's been quite the, we've had quite the busy days here recently, but you got to love what you do. So I love it. I love getting to help serve in the community, but it has been quite an insanity here recently.
Yeah, well, that's you know what? If you're busy, then it's not good for us, but we're glad that you're the one who's busy. How about that? Still.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I tell you what, there have been a number of stories that, and you know sports better than I do, but there are some that I want to just kind of run down and get your thoughts on them because I think they're kind of significant, all right?
Absolutely.
So the first one, and I'm gonna probably lose points with John from Huntsville. He grades me every day, and if I mention Alabama, I lose points. But nonetheless, knowing your penchant for Alabama sports, all things Alabama, Eli Gold is gone. Mm. What the heck? Yeah. So give me the lowdown on. Yeah. But I heard a rumor about where he's going. So give me the lowdown on what you know about Eli Gold.
Sure. So he has a lot of good opportunities coming his way, obviously. I know we're going to talk about one of those landing places here coming up in the show. But I'm going to be honest with you. I do not think Alabama handled it well. And I know that you talk about that he's a contractor with, I believe, Learfield Sports. And, you know, you know that that's part of the equation when you are a contract worker that, you know, the third party can say, hey, we want to part ways. But Eli Gold was the voice of Alabama football my entire life. I never remember hearing a game other than last season, when Eli Gold was not the voice of the Alabama football team. And, you know, I think what could have happened, and I'll say this, I know for a fact that Eli Gold wanted to travel last year, but he was told he was not going to be traveling. And it wasn't that he wasn't in good health. He's getting old, as is Nick Saban, right? But I think part of what was frustrating was that Eli Gold was not given the, let's call it the honorary season that he should have had. Yeah. I think they could have said, hey, you get one more whole year. We're going to announce at the beginning of the season that this is going to be your, you know, the retirement era, your last season. Kind of celebrate him the way he deserved it to be celebrated. Because honestly, Eli Gold was part of the Alabama football history that was there through many coaches, saw many changes, and yet was still the constant. So I personally think they did a disservice there, and they honestly, I'm very disappointed in them.
Well, so let me ask you this. As an Auburn fan, can I start a nasty rumor and say Coach DeBoer got him fired? Can I do that?
Sure. There's already plenty of those rumors going on. But, you know, I mean, regardless of the reason, I'm still disappointed in it. I'm very sad about it. I love Eli Gold. He's a friend of mine. Helped me get my start in broadcasting, and you know he's going to be very, very much missed.
Well, I would agree with you there, and you know Auburn lost ours a few years back in to a tragic incident, but but let me ask you this though. I've got an article here from AL.com. I can go to AL.com for sports and sports alone. Everything else is trash, but AL.com for sure. Sports is usually pretty good, and they're reporting as of last week. Eli Gold's gonna call sports for Jacksonville State.
Yes, that's true. He is, like I said, he has a couple things that I don't know. I can't remember what has been said privately and what has been said publicly, but there are a few opportunities doing that is one of them. And I'm very excited for him because he is so good with this area, right? Like in Alabama, in the Southeast. And so for him to be able to stay somewhere Southern, still be able to do football and do some other sports as well. I'm very excited for him. And I think that, you know, he still has it. And, you know, I know that Alabama's kind of wanting to change a little bit of how they do things. But, you know, Eli Gold's a guy that's extremely talented. I'll tell you this. You know why I love Eli Gold so much? He didn't go to college. He self-taught.
Wow. Really?
And he doesn't even have a degree. Yeah, so he is one of the ones that you just need to read his story. It's seriously so encouraging and so eye-opening. But he is self-taught, and he not only taught himself everything he knew, but he worked his way up. And he is one of the most successful sports broadcasters to never have a college degree in it. So it's very impressive.
That's amazing. All right. Listen, let me turn our attention down to the Plains.
Sure.
So I got two stories here. One is kind of the Plains. One is used to be the Plains, but let me do this one first.
Sure.
Bruce Pearl is an animal, man. That Bruce Pearl as a mm-hmm. basketball coach is just I love his passion. I love the way he leads his team. I love the fact that he wears his faith on his sleeve and everybody knows where he stands. But Auburn's also having a real deal season right now in basketball. And so give me your thoughts. I mean, we just beat Georgia for the close of the regular season, and now we're heading into true postseason play. Tell me what you think about Auburn basketball and where they're headed.
I'm scared of them, I'll be honest. I think Auburn peaked at the right time. I think that they had to kind of lose some games that were probably lost in the right season. I think Alabama is the opposite. I think Alabama chose to lose games when they needed to win them, and the worst part of the season, obviously. But if you're an Auburn fan, I mean, you've got to be excited. And I'll say this. Last year, Ernie Yarbrough, which obviously you know him.
Yeah.
I went down with him and his two sons, Ridley and Cameron, and we went down to the Alabama-Auburn Iron Bowl basketball game in Tuscaloosa last season when we clinched the regular season championship and got to see Bruce Pearl after the game. And I told him straight up, I told him this, as an Alabama fan, that he helped change the game. He's really the Nick Saban of basketball. I mean, when you look at what Bruce Pearl's been able to do, I mean, he's done to Alabama what Alabama did then, which is have to get coaches. I mean, Anthony Grant and Avery Johnson both couldn't stand up to what Auburn was putting up, and they're still doing it again. I think Auburn has become one of the most dominant basketball programs in the country.
Wow.
And whether it's recruiting or just on-field talent, I mean, on-court talent, I should say, I mean, I'm impressed, and I think when you look at either an Auburn or, I mean, I'd give them Auburn, Tennessee, or South Carolina. One of those three is going to win. I don't think Alabama's going to, but I think Auburn's going to put up a big fight this season.
Wow, so you're thinking March Madness could have some Auburn attached to it, huh? I mean, like really go all the way.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I'd say at least can see Elite Eight, maybe the Final Four. I mean, like I said, they're just playing with so much chemistry. And, you know, I love Alabama, but part of what I do is I'm not going to be that Alabama fan that's like, Alabama's going to win all when they're not. And I just think that this team has a lot of great talent, but we don't have that team cohesiveness like we had last season. And that's kind of the biggest issue with the Crimson Tide.
All right. Well, let's stick with something that was Plains originated. I did not know until just the other day. Like, I got a story, again, AL.com. Just the other day, like, this story broke yesterday, talking about Carnell Cadillac Williams, who, by the way, is from Gadsden, where I'm at. I remember when he played high school ball here, and he was an animal. And then he went down. Of course, he was Cadillac when he went down to the Plains and played for Auburn. And then he had his pro career, and then he came back and coached. And he coached at Auburn. He was interim head coach for a while. He resigned this year, which everybody was like, "What just happened?" But now he is in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, so what are you thinking? I mean, he's. You spent some time broadcasting for the NFL on ESPN.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about Carnell going to coach at where is he at? Is he with the Raiders?
Oakland Raiders. Yeah, with the Raiders. So, well, I guess you call them the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
The Oakland Raiders. But no, I think that's an amazing fit, and I think you look at the talent that he's going to have. I mean, even looking at Josh Jacobs. I mean, I'm so excited for him. Like, I'll say this, as much as I'm an Alabama fan, I felt the same way about Cadillac Williams as I did Eli Gold. I think that Auburn really lost an asset. And I think when you're looking, and when you're someone like Hugh Freeze and you're trying to help this program, I mean, let's just be honest, Bill, that team last year, were they outstanding? No. But would they have run through a wall for Cadillac Williams? Yes, they would have. Any of them would. And I think you need those guys on your supportive team. And with that, the sports staff, I think Kalen DeBoer has brought in some guys who are going to be like that. But I think Cadillac Williams is easily going to make his way up the coaching ladder in the NFL, and I would not be surprised if he's a head coach one day in the NFL. I really wouldn't be.
Well, that would be amazing. And so this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is his first stint on a coaching stage. He's a running backs coach for the Raiders now.
Yep.
So this is his first stint coaching the NFL, right?
Yep. And, you know, when you look at his resume, I mean, I'll say this about him. Cadillac Williams is a coach that is probably more about relationships than skills. And I think that that is what gets these coaches, especially you look at, you know, some of the younger coaches in the NFL. I mean, you see how they coach, and it's all about relationships. And players these days, they want to play for a good team, but they want to play for an even better coach. And they want to play with someone who will go to bat for them and who will help them grow as an individual. And so for him, I think this is a great fit for him. I really do. And I think that we're going to see Cadillac Williams maybe be up for several awards here in the future. I'm just excited for him. I'm excited to see what he can do and hopefully, you know, represent Tigers positively in the NFL and be a good influence for these young guys who, you know, oftentimes get themselves in quite the pickle. So, yeah. You know, I'm excited for him and best of luck.
Yeah, and he can not only have the relationship, but he can also have been there and done that. So they're not looking at somebody yes. who's giving them skills sure. from a textbook. He's giving them skills that he has actually put into play himself in the past.
And I'll say this. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the biggest thing for me, I think, when you look at the NFL is, you know, and I had the chance to speak with an NFL agent not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I said, the biggest thing for me is how do these guys navigate that transition, right? When you're in college, you have freedom, yeah, but you still have accountability. When you're in the NFL, you're getting more fame, more money, and more freedom. And so having guys like Cadillac who can relate and say, hey, I've been here before, bro, save your money. You know, you don't need to buy everyone in your family a car or a house, you know, be smart. Having that bit of stability in a coach that has been on both sides of the ball yeah. is very important.
Yeah. And my recollection too is, he's also a man of faith. He's willing to put his character out there. And I think that's going to resonate too. I hope it does. I hope it
absolutely.
I really hope it does. I'm looking forward to what he does in the lives of young men, like you're talking about. As much as I am about mm-hmm. coaching. So I think that's huge for
absolutely.
That's huge for little Gadsden, Alabama, to have a guy like Carnell who grew up here and played at Etowah High School and now look at where he is. Sure. And I think that's just cool. We need to have him back here to give a speech somewhere. I don't know. But well, listen, we got to take yeah. one break right now, Hannah. We'll come right back. And then I want to talk to you about some things that just happened in the world of ladies golf. All right. So we'll do that here momentarily.
Yep.
All right. We're with the UA sign girl, our friend Hannah Stevens. Talking about some Right Sports. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, making common sense like a superpower. Tell you who else got some superpower common sense is our friend Hannah Stevens, who is on the line right now. Hannah has had a career in sports broadcasting, is like steeped in the knowledge, and has also got opinions. So, all right, Hannah, let me ask you a question. Yeah, she laughs because sure. she knows I'm right. You got opinions. You know you do.
I do.
And not afraid to share them. Let me ask you this. The world of women's golf. There's a golfer that goes by the name of Haley Davidson. Haley Davidson mm-hmm. is a dude. Haley Davidson mm-hmm. is a dude that wants to play women's golf. And recently won an LPGA tournament. And it caused quite the uproar. And there have now yep. been some policy changes. Tell me what you know.
Two things. And I'll start by saying this. Any woman, any female that stands by this and thinks it's okay, this is a slap in the face to all of the women who have fought for Title IX. And it's absurd. I mean, and, you know, you and I obviously we're at the Raleigh Games event, and the right. fact that we're even having to have these conversations is mind-blowing, because as a woman, I'm like, listen, if I wanted to go out and play college football, would I be allowed to? Yeah, maybe, maybe not, but not a single guy there would be like, oh, she's going to be better than us. Oh, she's going to be able to throw the ball further. She's going to be able to run faster. She's going to be able to hit harder. No, they're not going to have that concern. Why? Because men are biologically able to do things faster, stronger, all the things, right? And so then it's so frustrating to just see people sit back and just think this is okay for women's sports. And we've had, you know, our grandparents and our great grandparents helped create leagues for women, like a league of their own, because we're different than men. And that's okay. That's good in of itself. And so anyway, all that to say, there's a couple of things about this story that I don't think people understand. So golf is a sport, Phil. If you and I were to go with your family or whoever to a golf course, you're going to notice something at every single hole, every single tee. You know what that is, Phil?
Oh, the tee boxes are different.
Yes. Why? Because men and women may have a little bit of differences when it comes to being able to hit the golf ball, correct? You're probably going to be able to hit it further than I am. So all that to say, people get upset about this. But, you know, when you look at the statistics, I mean, she was, if I'm not incorrect, she is 150 points ahead of the woman in second place based on her win so far this season. And also,
Him.
Well, I'm talking about the girl in second place. Also, when you look at what he's been able to do, most men have a golf club head speed of 114.2 miles an hour, while a woman's head speed, driver swing speed, is going to be 94 miles an hour. So you take that difference. That is astronomical when it comes to the game of golf. I mean, that could be the equivalent of a football field, right? And so I am fired up about it, and I'm very proud. I want to say I'm proud of what this organization is doing to put a stop to this and say, no, where you have to be born a female at birth to compete in this league, because that's what all of this should be, Phil. We shouldn't be able to have these conversations, and we shouldn't be having to have them, because there should be common sense, and there should be enough, we would hope. We know there's not, but you would like to think there's enough character integrity in people to be like, listen, my child, my daughter one day may have to be in the same situation. Would I be happy with this? No. And the fact that Riley Gaines, no one stood up for her, no coach, no NCAA tournament director, not the chairman of the NCAA, no one stood up for her and said, hey, this is wrong. They just were more concerned, and this is the issue, Phil, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of going on a rant.
No, you're good. You got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Perfect. The society we live in is more concerned with hurting the feelings of someone who wants to identify as a sex or not than more upset about the person who is being their trophy, their national championship is being stolen from them. And why? Why have we enabled this behavior that we're more afraid to offend someone who's in the wrong than to support the person in the right? And that's what bothers me. Yeah, so am I upset that this dude's upset? No, he should be. He should be upset that he's even wanting to compete with women to begin with.
So well said. And listen, I don't think we even said it out loud yet, but the reality is the story was leading to is the NXXT Golf Tour, which is part of the LPGA, has said no more transgender athletes, period.
Yep. Yeah, and good for them. It's about time.
It's about daggum time.
Absolutely.
Listen, we just ran the gamut. I love this. I love having you come on, and we just have like a series, like a round robin, and you always know stuff about it. One day I'm gonna stump you with a story. So I'm gonna find one. I'm gonna find like a hockey tour in Siberia or something, and to see if you know about it. But Hannah Stevens, we appreciate you, and we'll have you on again sometime soon, all right?
Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing an amazing job, and we need more broadcasters like you spilling the truth and saying what's right.
Thanks, Hannah. We'll see you. All right. Well, we're heading to the break, top of the hour. We're going to switch gears. We've got to talk about something that's on a little bit of an international scale, but not really. Not really. Because we're facing something in our hemisphere right now that is on the same level as like Somalia when it became a failed state and we saw Black Hawk Down. We got to watch what's happening in Haiti. We're going to talk about the failed state. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.